that. It's lovely, isn't it, when the Lord puts something on your heart, and through the first part, you start hearing that confirmation. And in Sandra's word there just then, that the Lord's just calling us to trust. I've headed up this morning as trust and prayer in what I want to bring to us. And so, you know, okay, it's me that's speaking, but actually, no, I feel that the Lord is speaking through me, through those that have brought the word this morning. And so when we start to hear those different things coming from different, well, the same thing coming from different sources, it's time really to prick up your ears and say, okay, you know, what's the Lord got to say to us this morning? And just, it amused me, you quoted from Psalm, I think it's 42, isn't it? As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. As a small boy, Lockridge Chapel, I suppose you remember, Mum, one of the prayers was, oh Lord, give us longer pants. And as a small boy, highly amusing. Lord, give us longer pants. But do you think about that? You know, you're talking about a country where, you know, there's not a lot of moisture around. There's not a lot of water. And that deer is really gasping for water. That deer needs the life of the water. Is that where your soul is? Is that the same thing for your soul? Lord, I really need more of you. My soul is longing for you. Yeah? That's what it's about, isn't it? We will share communion. I've got a couple of things that I just want to ask, go through. We are family. We can talk, speak. I'll say what I want to say, but if you want to respond, I'm more than happy, okay? Let's just come to the communion table as the family of God. Let's come before him and understand what this represents to us this morning. Understand what this represents to us as the body of Christ, because it is an amazing thing. It's a very simple thing that we do, but the importance of it is just so deep. It's so important. Jesus said to us in Matthew, didn't he? He said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these things, all the stuff that had gone before, you know, he was talking about Solomon and all his glory and the birds of the air and everything else. All the things that we need will be added. Yeah? So if we seek first his kingdom, what does that mean? How do we do it? What does that mean? Put Jesus first. You know, we get into our sort of almost religious jargon, don't we? Get into our the way we speak, the way we talk about it, that actually, if you speak to somebody that's got no relationship with Jesus, just, what are you on about? What are you talking about? So if somebody says to you, you know, well, Jesus said, seek first his kingdom, what does that mean? We should know, shouldn't we, as a church? So what did Jesus say the greatest commandment was? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your strength. And then what's the next one? Love your neighbor. So if Jesus said those are the in his, maybe we should put those two together and we say, okay, if I'm going to be putting his kingdom first, my first priority is to love him with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. Secondly, I've got to love those around me. And that includes when I'm driving and some idiot cuts up in front of me. Where am I way? I've got to love my neighbor as myself. Once we start thinking about how Jesus ordered his kingdom, how Jesus put together the way he would like us to live, it changes everything. You know, if somebody says, oh yeah, you're a fundamentalist. I think people that are fundamentalists are a bit dodgy. You know, they're out there on the extreme. Fundamental Christian is somebody that loves. Isn't it? God so loved the world that he gave. It's a giving love. It's let's just put his kingdom first in all things. Yeah? So as we just consider those emblems, I said on Monday that, you know, my heart has been in Colossians. I've been reading through Colossians, and that's really, it's really touched me. And I just want to read a couple of sections in Colossians that really impacted me. And I want us just to consider the implications of those verses. So it's the first couple of chapters in Colossians. Verse 18 says that he, that is Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. So the body of Christ is the church. So we are the church. So when you're out and about in the streets and you're learning what it is to really love your neighbor, you are representing Christ Jesus. You're representing, as far as they're concerned, you're the church. Yeah? We're not talking about a building that we haven't got. We're not talking about any of that. We are the church, and Christ Jesus is the head. He is in the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. So Christ died and rose again. He was the first, and he is supreme in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. So in Christ Jesus, there was the fullness of God in him. Nothing lacking. Everything was there. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So the purpose that God wanted his fullness to dwell within Christ Jesus was for reconciliation. And the reconciliation that we're celebrating as we share communion is his death and his resurrection. And he made peace through his blood that was shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. There's one thing that will not get into the presence of God, and that's evil. There's one thing that God cannot stand, and that's wrong. There's one thing that God cannot give to you is wrong, is evil, because he hasn't got it to give you. So if things are going wrong, if things are bad, it hasn't come from God. Don't get confused. God cannot give you what he hasn't got, and he hasn't got bad things. He hasn't got evil. Those things are not in his presence. So in order for us to be reconciled, in order for us to be able to come into his presence, we celebrate his death and his resurrection that affords us his righteousness. It's a gift that he's given to each and every one of us. It's a gift that covers the sin, that gets that sin as far as the east is from the west from us. Doesn't matter what that sin is. Doesn't matter how recent that sin is. If we come before him and we repent, and this morning we say, Lord, we're really sorry. We messed up. We tripped. We can wear those robes. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. So not only can we wear those robes of righteousness, there is nobody that can point an accusing finger at you. Nobody can say, yeah, but Bill, you did that the other day. You know, you don't qualify because of this. Lord Jesus, forgive. Please forgive me. But there's a qualifier. All the time when we read the promises of God, God says, I'll do this if you do that. I can do this for you. I can move mountains. We've been singing it. If you trust in me, if. So what's our bit? If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope that is held out in the gospel. How much of that have we sung about this morning? That trust, that hope, that one desire that we have to follow him. We need to continue in the faith. We need to get ourselves established. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that a remarkable statement? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So all the fullness of God dwelt in Christ. And where's Christ? Start to get a grip of just what these scriptures are saying. It is quite remarkable. And it is scriptures that we know and we know really, really well, and we tend to just say, oh yeah, Christ on us, the hope of glory. In Christ is the fullness of his deity. This is why we can trust. This is why we can get hold of this hope and know that it is a hope that does not disappoint. This is why we can get a hold of the gospel and share these communion emblems, because in us, Christ dwells. And God does not let us down. The trick is to allow the Holy Spirit in us to come out more and more and more. Because God, what does it say in Micah? One thing I require of you. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. It's a continuous thing. We need to walk humbly before God. And this is what we're talking about. Understanding that Christ in you, the hope of glory, enables us to walk humbly before our God. Enables us to work through our salvation. Colossians 2, it goes on to say later on in verse 6, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. See that nobody takes you captive through hollow, deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. So there will be other things that will come in. There will be things that try and creep in that are traditions of men. Oh, we've always done it that way. You know, in the church. Oh, you must do it like this because that's how we've always done it. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Have a look at what that is. And if it is what God's word says, if it squares with his word, fine. If it doesn't, don't do it. You know, God has given us that ability to read and to understand. Rooted and built up in, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Yeah? That's where we need to be. We need to be overflowing with thankfulness. And why wouldn't you be thankful when you think the fullness of Christ is dwelling, of God in his, well, the fullness of God was in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in you, the hope of glory. For in Christ is all the fullness of death. So there we go. It repeated in Colossians. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But please, as I say, we're the body of Christ. We're the family of God. Let's just all, just you can quite happily shout out what really captures you. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. So in Christ, we have that fullness. And what does that mean? If you flick along to Ephesians, it says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So that's where we are. That's the basis from which we work. That's the basis of our faith. That's the reason we can trust. That's the reason that we have a hope, and that hope will not disappoint. It's an anchor to our soul, isn't it? When things are going on around us, and they will, and when things aren't going quite as we hoped, and I've been praying for that, and I've been praying for that, and I've been praying for that, and Lord, I'm still praying for that. Keep the faith. Stand firm. Because we are complete in him, aren't we? What is lacking? Absolutely completing him. So what do we need to do? Paul put it this way. He said, run the race as though to win. That's the bit we do. We stay in faith. We keep hold of what he's given us. So going right back to the beginning, where we started, if we put his kingdom first, we love those around us. Whatever happens, we keep on loving the Lord our God with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our might, everything, all our might. And I still, when I come up to a junction and somebody pulls out in front of me, Lord, love them. And I say that, yeah, it's we all can relate to it, can't we? But actually what you'll find is when you're in a situation like that, what's in the heart will come out very quickly. And it's a good tester. Lord, I still need to work on that. I didn't mean for that reaction. And I say, it might be other things. I'm just saying the most obvious one is when we're driving. That's what tends to happen. But we are complete in him. We have an amazing opportunity to share in the purposes of God. We can think about it. This reminds us of what it's all about. I was going to do communion now, but I think what I'm going to do is there's a couple of things that I just want to bring out about trusting God. And this whole package we refer to as salvation, don't we? This is our salvation. Basically, the redemption from a life that was spiritually dead to becoming spiritually alive. From a life that was only ever going to lead us to separation from God and going, there's a pit called hell that God built for Satan. And that's the only one he intended to go in there. But sin has come into the world and it's meant that that's where we were going. But God desires that all men come into a saving knowledge of him. He doesn't desire any of us go into that pit. He desires that all of us go with him into heaven. But there's the bit that we have to do. We have to accept him. We have to say, Lord Jesus, I accept that plan. I have sinned. I'm sorry. I want to go your way. It's as simple as that. That's what God wants us to do. In Isaiah 26, I thought you were going to quote it this morning, Steve. It says this, we have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Have you ever considered that our salvation is our defense? Our salvation is our walls and our ramparts. Ramparts are defensive walls, aren't they? Yeah? Built up to protect. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter and the nation that keeps faith. Again, there you are, the nation that keeps faith. We need to keep faith. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. The Lord does not change. He is steadfast, he is sure, he is faithful. And if you trust him, properly trust him, so that I'm not worrying about something, then I'll have that perfect peace because I've trusted God. I've put it into his hands. He can do it. That's his job. Perfect peace. But our salvation is not just what my brother Tim used to call fire insurance to protect you from that bit. Salvation is something that we work through all our lives. Salvation is an ongoing thing, and it is our walls and our ramparts. We need to continue in our faith, steadfast and firm. Live our lives, our salvation daily, hour by hour, minute by minute, to keep the faith. Another Isaiah verse that I like, this is 28. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. That's Jesus, isn't it? Everything that we do is built on that foundation. Everything that we believe is built on that foundation. The cornerstone held the building together. It made it solid. It made it secure. The foundations were firm. But what does it say? Whoever believes, in the New King James it says, whoever believes will not act hastily. If we truly trust in that cornerstone, in the Lord Jesus, we don't need to panic. The NIV says, never stricken with panic. We don't need to panic. We don't need to worry. We don't need to do something hastily. Lord, I trust you. I can leave that in your place. I don't need to rush out and do something. Lord, it's in your hands. We can trust. We can just put it in his hands and trust. And on Wednesday, we spoke from Psalm 37, and it talks about trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. So there is also a massive benefit in us staying in our salvation, keeping the faith, being steadfast and sure. Have you ever considered, when you read through Kings and Chronicles and you look at all the Old Testament kings, the ones whose heart was for the Lord, they lived long and they prospered. They did well. Those that didn't, it all came tumbling down. You know, one of the things that the Lord will do for us all is look after us. He will keep us in perfect peace. What does the world want? Peace. Peace in the heart. But I have news for you. There is no peace where there's no righteousness. Righteousness and peace go together. Middle East will not be solved until righteousness reigns. Our country will be in a mess until righteousness reigns. There is peace only through righteousness. I've got quite a lot more, but I think what we will do is just share these communion emblems because, you know, I feel this morning that the Lord is really saying, trust in me. Our hope is in him. Our hope is a sure foundation in him. You know, we don't need to be swayed by what's going on currently in the world. And, you know, Steve was mentioning that, you know, the Lord didn't come back, but the Lord's coming back soon. You know, we can see through scripture that the things that the Lord has said will happen before he returns, a lot of those things have happened, if not all. We're getting very close. Yeah? So don't be surprised if he comes this afternoon. He's coming soon anyway, and he's coming back for those that eagerly desire his return. He's coming back for those that believe. So I'm going to break the bread. I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing on it. If you know the Lord and you understand those scriptures that I've just been going through, just ask the Lord for that miracle that we were looking for this morning. Just ask the Lord for that thing that is really on your heart. If you feel that you've tripped or stumbled a little bit, then just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to come back into your presence. I want to know that peace, that sure salvation. I need those walls, those ramparts around me. I want to see your salvation working out in my life day by day by day. If you don't know the Lord, then maybe it's time to get to know him. You know, let's just understand that it was for love that Christ came. Love for us. Love for his people. Love for his creation. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come together as your people, as your family, and share in the communion emblems. And Lord, as I break this bread, as I just break the loaf that represents your body that was given for us, I pray that each and every person that partakes in this will know the presence of the Lord in their lives, would know the goodness of God, the blessings of the Lord, that we would be able to be a people that are ready and equipped as you have equipped us, that we can share that good news with those around us, that we can bring the gospel of peace to our neighbour, to our friends, to those people that just are crying out for your peace. And Lord, it is unbelievable in a sense that we have Christ Jesus dwelling within us. The hope of glory, the strength of God within us. And I pray, Lord, that as we partake of this loaf, as we share these emblems together as your family, that we will just understand who we are in Christ Jesus. That what it means to be a servant of the Most High God, to be a child of the King, to be what we often will speak about, Lord, but let's just help us to understand the depth of the meaning of all of this. But Lord, we come to you with grateful hearts. We come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts. Because Lord Jesus, without your death, we are nothing. Without your death, we have nothing. But because of your death and your resurrection, we can receive this gift. And Lord, we are so grateful, and we praise and honor your holy name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If people just together, that would be great. There is two slices that are gluten-free. So if you're gluten-free, have the slice rather than the loaf. Just on a practical basis. So, have we got? Thank you, Duncan. Don't be shy. We're just family. Can you do the gluten-free bit, Kevin? Thank you. Thank you, David.
Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood.
We share the cup now, and the cup represents the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed. And covenants were sealed with blood, weren't they? That's how they did it. They made a covenant, and we've been reading about the covenant that we have with the Lord Jesus, and he sealed it with his blood. So it's irrevocable. cannot change. The Bible also tells us that the life is in the blood. Yeah? So as we partake of this, we know that we have that forgiveness. We know that we have that power of God within us, and that that can't be taken from us. None can pluck you from his hands. We can wander off. We can make that decision, but I pray God that we don't. Nothing, exactly, Shan, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yeah? And the life that this represents. So, Father God, we thank you that you were prepared to send your Son, that your love for us compelled you to give. And as Steve reminded us in the beginning of the service, that this was planned before time, that this was in your great plan for us. And Jesus, we thank you that you were prepared to come for the one purpose, the sole purpose, to die for us. To leave your place in glory, to leave that place of absolute authority, and to make yourself subject to man to the point of death. A horrendous death, a death where you took all our shame. You took all our sin. That you died for us, that we may have salvation. A gift that includes healing. A gift that includes freedom from shame. A gift that will break us free from the chains of this world, the things that would seek to hold us back. We thank you, Lord, that you died for us. But death could not hold you. The power of God raised you from the dead. And Lord, we thank you. We can celebrate that this morning. We thank you, Lord, that as we just partake of the cup, that we know what it represents. It represents your life and your sealing of that covenant that nobody can change. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we partake in this, that that realization would just dawn on us a wee bit more, that you would help our understanding of your salvation, the protection that it affords us, the healing that it can bring us, the forgiveness that you have in your heart towards us, and the life that we can have in Christ Jesus, and life to the full. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay.
Great.
let your kingdom come. Your word has let me see. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me.
God is so good, isn't he? It's so lovely just to be able to do such a simple thing, but to understand the real depth of the meaning and to understand what it is. So we can trust in the Lord, can't we? We have a hope that is sure and true. What does that provoke in us? What's our response? Must be, yeah, gratitude, yeah. But love, yeah. You know, and the Bible says that in John, 1 John, if you love me, you'll do my commands. So there's should be that response in us. Lord, you were prepared to come and die for me. Surely my response must be, Lord, I owe everything to you. I'll do what it is that you asked me to do. I'll follow your commands. Yeah, I'll find out what it is that you have for me. I want to do that. That's where I am. I want to do that, Lord. Colossians, again, in Colossians, it says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. That's picking up a little bit on what Rob said week before Steve said. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. It's not a calling, it's a command. It's something that we should be in our desire. We want to talk to God. You know, we talk about prayer. All we're saying is, I want to communicate with God. I want to hear from him. I want to know what it is that he's saying at the moment. I want to know what it is he's saying for me. I want to know what it is he's saying for us as a church. I want to know the way forward. I want to know what it is that he's got. I want to spend time with him. I want to spend time with my wife. Why? Because I love her. I want to spend time with the Lord. Why? Because I love him. It's as simple as that, you know. Is it something we put all our heart and our soul and our strength into? There's different ways we pray, isn't there? There's different ways that we will seek the Lord. There's times when we can just be talking to him. There are times that it will absolutely get us on our knees. Rob was reminding us that there's all sorts of ways that we communicate with God. Jesus, we read that Jesus groaned in his spirit, didn't he? And Rob has reminded us that, yeah, we can use tongues, we can do, there's utterances that come out that maybe we don't completely understand. We don't have to understand exactly how to pray for something. There's a situation that we don't fully understand. We can commit it to God and we can trust in him, and our hope is sure. You know, that's a practical working out of what God is saying. Put first his kingdom. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. We understand a little bit about why that's so pertinent, why that's so important to us, the cost that Jesus was prepared to pay. We want to see his kingdom advance. We want to see God's will done. I want to see God move in this town and this village. Yeah? And sometimes, you know, there is a real strength when we come together as a church and we pray. You know, there's a place for us to devote ourselves to prayer individually. There's a place for us to devote ourselves, a time when we come together and we pray together. But Ephesians also says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. We need wisdom in all of this, don't we? And what do? The Bible is just so full of wonderful promises. Flick through to James and it says, if you lack wisdom, pray. Ask God. And it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. And it will be given to you. So you ain't going to say, oh no, I can't give you wisdom. Crumbs, I don't know what you're going to do with that. Everybody, without finding fault, he will give you wisdom generously. This day and age, if there's one thing we need when we're spreading the gospel, it's wisdom, isn't it? Yeah? But he's a good God. I want to finish with Thessalonians. And it's almost like the benediction, but I know Steve's going to finish the service off. But it says this, rejoice always. Pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. That's what we need, isn't it? Yeah, just making us righteous through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Not he might, he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And that's a statement in itself, isn't it? How much grace did the Lord carry? That's the grace that we want to be with you all. Bless God. Thank you.